This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 372. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Diana returns to the satin tights, Why a Duck, Hurricane Veronica hits, and if you bet 2 years to complete Sandman Overture, you're a winner! This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, October 4th, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Wonder Woman 77 Special Number 2 by Andraco Johnson Ortiz Staggs Badhour Fajardo Jr. and Smith. This one surprised me when it came up in the poll. I wasn't aware there was a second special coming out, but this is a digital first title based on the Linda Carter TV series.
So are the digital ones specials too, or is it just they continue to do the digital one and surprised you with a paper one?
I think it's the latter. I think they just continue to do them, and then when they have enough for a special, they bind it up.
Okay.
I guess they've decided to go that route rather than the Batman 66 route.
With an ongoing series.
Ongoing series, yeah.
That way they don't have to commit.
Right. So there are three stories here. In the first one, Wonder Woman is being honored with a museum exhibit, unfortunately taking female archaeologist Dr. Minerva's spot, which, of course, means it enters the cheetah.
Who's... Now, I think I saw a cheetah costume in the Wonder Woman display.
Yes.
So this must mean she wasn't the first cheetah for this particular Wonder Woman.
Indeed, because there's three first appearances. The Golden Age first appearance was in Wonder Woman number 6 in 1943. The Bronze Age first appearance in Wonder Woman 274, 1980. That was the Minerva character.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a new one in Wonder Woman 7 in 1987. So several people have been the cheetah over the years. So Minerva's origin involves a tribal artifact that changes her into this were-cheetah. And that's what they do here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great shot in the Wonder Woman exhibit with references to, as you mentioned, the Golden Age cheetah costume, the invisible plane, the World War II Diana and Drusilla costumes.
Yes.
And minor villain Red Panzer. So this is borrowing from not only the TV series, but from the comic book. But it's also continuing the idea that the TV Wonder Woman is the same character in both the World War II ABC series and the 1970s CBS series.
Oh, I didn't know those were both on different networks.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh.
But the idea was, because Diana is immortal, it's the same character.
Yes, but Steve Trevor is different.
Steve Trevor Jr. is his name, actually.
Yes.
He's the son of the original Steve Trevor. So, of course, Diana saves the day, and Minerva is thrown into the insane asylum, and presumably she'll be back.
She has cat eyes, so
yes.
She'll be back as the cheetah.
Yeah. The second story reeks of the 70s, because there's references to Three Mile Island and corrupt politicians. A new villain named Celsia, who has both heat and cold powers, who I believe is a reference to Silver Age Doom Patrol member Celsius.
I don't know that.
Basically had similar
character.
Powers.
I was wondering if there was anybody who was like that.
Yeah. She was a victim of the nuclear meltdown and wants revenge. Diana and Steve join a swinging 70s party to protect a congressman who was apparently involved in all the nuclear event. Celsia attacks, and the congressman calls in the Atomic Knights,
mm-hmm.
whose first appearance was in Strange Adventures number 117, 1960. this interesting concept, just bringing the Atomic Knights.
But I think it wasn't the senator that called them in. It was the corrupt businessman that the senator had been talking to.
Oh, that could be.
Because remember, Minerva had kidnapped the senator.
Right. Oh, that's true. So Diana does the spin, of course, and then has to take on all of them. She uses the lasso. We learn the congressman is complicit in the nuclear disaster, and one of the knights recorded his confession. Then the third story brings us Solomon Grundy, whose first appearance was in All-American Comics number 61, 1944.
And this was a really short story.
Yeah, it was only a few pages. In this version, he's an avenging ancestor of a woman in an abusive relationship. It's a message story.
And yeah, well,
I thought the artist here seemed to have traced a lot of Linda Carter publicity photos.
Yeah.
Because either he's really good at the likeness or, wow,
yeah,
that pretty much looks like photorealistic Linda Carter art. Still wish this was an ongoing series, but I will take the specials.
Yes.
By the way, the Sensation Digital First Wonder Woman title, yeah, that's getting the axe in December.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 10 from Marvel by Wade, Shaner, and Wilson. So Coulson checks his Rolodex to see who can save the world when multiple realities threaten destruction. It's Howard the Duck, whose first appearance was in Adventure into Fear number 19, 1973.
And of course, he made an appearance in the Avengers movie.
Exactly.
Or, no, Guardians of the Galaxy.
An anthropomorphic duck with an attitude created by Steve Gerber, basically as a social satire. He also got a terrible 1986 film from George Lucas.
Mm.
But in this story, Fitz tracks down Howard while providing exposition. There's this artifact that's labeled the Zipper Unripper that Howard must use to take down the big bad. He runs into alternate versions of himself in different realities. One is clearly a version of Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, but of course that's okay because Disney Marvel slash
them. Well, but also it's satire. So
yes.
In fact, Howard really pushed the whole idea of satire because Disney, long before they owned Marvel, sued Marvel saying, oh, he's Donald.
Oh.
And he said, no, he's not. Because in his first appearance, he's dressed like Donald Duck.
Uh-huh.
And they said, no, he's satire. And actually was a big court case about it.
Wow.
So another reality, he meets the Legion of Howards, which is an Avengers parody.
Yes.
They fight a fat Frenchman who wants the ultimate universal pâté.
Yes.
That's based on different Howards.
He has to have the livers of all the Howards from the different multiverses.
But the real baddie is the Liverer, was clearly a parody of Galactus. And Howard uses the artifact and saves the day. At one point, Fitz sees a reality with Fitz and Simmons together.
Yes.
A silly story, but what else would you expect from Howard the Duck?
Indeed. But, you know, the thing that I'm questioning is, do you know anything about the Owl character?
He was in a previous issue
of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
He? Okay.
Yeah. He was basically a magic user who screwed up and put an owl head on. Archie number 3 by Wade and Staples. So this issue formally introduces Veronica to the new continuity. She's a reality star slumming in Riverdale because her dad just moved into town.
Well, and to me, just from things that happened later on, it sounds like he moved to Riverdale to get Veronica away
from
that world.
Archie falls all over her. Jughead is annoyed. Betty's pulled into the fight after Veronica puts her down. There's really not a lot of story here. But there is a reprint of Veronica's first appearance, which is in Pep Comics number 26, 1942, involving Archie juggling a waiter job and his first date with Veronica. And we get a preview panel of Black Hood.
Yes.
The original Golden Age Black Hood had a promo panel at the end of that story. I'm enjoying this title, but I wish it would kind of move along a little faster. They're kind of taking their time setting things up.
Yes, well.
And by the way, Jughead number 1 is about to come out. Pack Rat Comics is going to have a variant cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they paid to do a variant cover. So
cool.
We'll be buying a copy or two of that. Sandman Overture number 6 from Vertigo by Gaiman, McKeon, and Williams III.
Have you read this yet?
Nope.
Neither have I.
It's been so long between issues, I will need to dig out the other issues to reread them.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that I should have waited for the trade on this one.
I'm sure I would not be able to explain the plot anyway.
Yes.
Sight unseen. So let's talk about what's come and gone since the first issue of this 6-issue miniseries 2 years ago.
Oh.
We reviewed issue number one on episode 280. We're on episode 372. This was November 10th, 2013. Since then, Harley Quinn became DC's Deadpool. Justice League got a 3000, a 3001, and 2 reboots. Doctor Who changed publishers. Batgirl got the Stupidity reboot. Robin rose and fell and rose again. Miniseries that came and went that I had were at least as many issues as this. Serenity, Multiversity, which was announced years earlier, Tiny Titans, Arkham Manor, Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet, Bodies, Dr. Mirage, and Long Distance. 3 weekly series from DC came and went while this has been going along. Crossover events Doomed, Forever Evil, Future's End, and the 3D specials, Convergence, and Secret Wars at Marvel all happened while this has been going on in this 6-issue miniseries. Ongoing titles that started and ended were canceled. Dead Boy Detectives, Aquaman and the Others, Lobo, Doomed, Secret Origins, Teen Titans, Unwritten Apocalypse, Infinity Men and the Forever People, and G.I. Zombie. I'll say it again. It's a miniseries people waited 20 years for. Why start selling it or even announcing it before all the issues are at the printers?
I do not know.
I know that Vertigo focuses on trades and collections, but this could have been an original graphic novel next year.
Indeed.
And it will be, of course, a hardcover archive omnibus edition.
At some point, we'll see the absolute Sandman overture.
So that's how most people will read it. So why did they bother putting this out as a floppy when it took 2 years to come out?
It certainly seems silly. Maybe somebody needed money.
How much money would they make? I'm guessing the sales were ridiculous. I mean, I'm guessing the number 6 sales, I don't know if they'll crack 3,000 and actually get on the Diamond Top 300.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a good thing then. We'll have it and we'll be able to sell it later for lots of money.
I suppose.
I don't know.
All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm pushing the button.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Is it one person on the cover?
No.
Two people?
No.
3?
Yes.
2 men and a woman?
Yes.
Okay. And is it a movie that's going to come out?
Yes.
Is it a genre movie?
Yes.
Is it science fiction?
Yes.
Okay. I assume it's a big movie coming out.
Yes.
It's not Star Wars?
No.
Okay, but it's quasi science fiction. It's a movie that's not out yet.
Right.
Is it a movie coming out this year, or do you know?
Yes.
Okay. And another science fiction movie coming out later this year. Okay. Are the people all in their 30s?
Or younger.
Or younger. Okay. In their 20s?
Yes.
Okay, they're all in their 20s. Okay. What else to ask? Is it based on a young adult fiction?
It is.
Ah, okay. Not that it really helps me too much, because I don't know what that is. Many details on that. Let's see. It's not... Is it Hunger Games?
It is!
Ah.
So Hunger Games what? Huh?
Hunger
huh?
Games... Boy, are they hungry. So it's Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
And the two guys that are vying for her love.
Yeah. Do you even remember like the character names?
Nope.
Oh.
Fred and Ethel. Fred and Louis.
Okay, I'm stopping the timer. I'll sort of give that one to you. Although since you've seen 2 of the 3 movies that were out so far, I think you should have remembered Gale and PETA.
Oh, of course.
As the names of the boys, and Josh Hutcherson.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember the name of the other one.
And you've got the cover in front of you.
I don't. Somebody took it away from me just now. And then it's Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2.
Ah, and this is the last one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Just want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.